This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the August 17th edition of InvestDoc. Above average investing for the average investor. We're all making money choices. We all do. And of course, those affect our future every day. Whether it's investing or everyday living purchases like insurance or refinancing, it doesn't matter. They all affect your future and how much money you're going to have when you need it when you retire. Now, I try to help you make the best possible decisions by providing information. That's my job. That's what I like to do. And I can answer any questions that you ask if they're financial in nature. And, of course, I reserve the right not to know the answer. I'll tell you if I don't. We're live 4 to 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday. And you can call our number anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 888-99-CHART. And we'll get to that in a minute. Investing requires that potential investors understand that there are risks to doing nothing. And that's going to be our main talking point. Doing nothing. What are the risks of doing nothing? So let's check our 24-hour listener line calls right now. It's open for your questions anytime you want to ask them.
Hey, Steve and Justin, Dan in Chicago. Love the show. Just wanted to get your take on strategy here. The market looking like it's starting to roll over and possibly correcting. Looking for value. Thinking maybe now, maybe the transition from growth to value. Looking at a couple opportunities, oil being one of them, big oil, Chevron, Exxon. I know they hadn't put in a bottom yet. They're continuing to fall. Was planning on waiting to see a bottom and maybe getting in there. Nice dividend plays. Looking longer term here with all these moves. Retail being another one. Looking at Walmart and Target, thinking they may be also high dividend plays. Walmart I know was toppy, had good earnings, but long term I think is a solid play. And then Target, maybe putting in a bottom here. But anyway, I just want to get your thoughts on most stocks. Thanks so much, guys. Bye.
Well, we got to pick one. I can't talk about all those stocks all at the same time. But yes, I do. I will say this. You started off with value versus growth. I think it's a good time to be a value investor right now, not a growth investor. Growth has worked a while. Worked very nice. But long-term value outperforms growth long-term. But you do want to wait for the opportunities, and I do see the same opportunities in those same sectors that you were talking about, ExxonMobil, Chevron, and Target, Walmart. Some of those you mentioned we actually own in our managed accounts, and we have a lot of cash on the sidelines in most of our accounts, and we are hoping to put it to work when we get this finally get this correction. I can't tell you. One day is not a correction. I've been kind of hinting that the seems like the market internals have really weakened here in recent times. And I've been very cautious about the market, very cautious. So I need you to be cautious. Doesn't mean you panic out. That's not what I'm suggesting. You don't panic out, but it doesn't hurt to have some cash. And hopefully you've been producing that cash while the market's running up. This is the hardest thing to learn. You buy when there's sellers, you sell when there's buyers. And buyers mean the market's running up. You sell into that, produce some cash. Doesn't mean sell everything. I'm not talking about that. We've been slowly selling into the rally. If you notice that the earnings season is now coming to an end, earnings season was pretty good. But I don't know if you noticed, but every stock they either met or was a little bit under the earnings got killed, while those stocks who exceeded the earnings went up just a little bit. Now, have you noticed that? That's kind of not a positive sign. Just not. So it's time to be careful. We often spend a good part of our hour analyzing stocks you bring to the table, of course, the ones you call in. In the process, I try to make use of several different measurement tools, technical analysis and fundamental analysis, two ways to look at stocks. But here's the most important factor. Does the company have a good business model? a solid, steady business model. Most people, you have to look at it and step back from it and say, okay, is this going to work? And you should look at it pretty closely. All fundamental metrics go out the window if the business that got the company where it is no longer relevant. Right? So who cares about what the fundamentals are if they're in a business that's shrinking? The whole business is going away by creative destruction is one of the most obvious. Remember BlackBerry? Do you remember the BlackBerry Research in Motion? How strong their fundamentals were? They were super strong. They were the leader in cell phones. But the industry changed, and they didn't change with it. Look what happened. It's down 90% from its top. So you got to really look hard. Is this business going to succeed? And other industries all suffer from huge economic threats, such as commodity names. While commodities will always be used, their price fluctuations are tremendous, are huge on the open market. The companies have little or no control on their prices. They don't. It's a commodity. There's nothing they can, it's hard to distinguish one yourself. If you're a commodity producer, you produce fertilizer. Well, how do you produce better fertilizer than someone else is producing the exact same fertilizer? How do you differentiate yourself? How do you make yourself look better? It's hard. Think about that. While market sell-offs can be scary and disheartening, everybody, a smart investor will buy value stocks when they are on sale. Why am I stressing this? Because I think we're going to see stocks to be on sale in the not-too-distant future. We've seen some in certain sectors are coming down, and they will be on sale. They'll be a good place to buy at some point. You want to talk about it? We can talk about it further. Got questions about design a strategy for yourself? I'm ready to help any way I can. 888-99-CHART. And let's go back to the phones and take another question from our 24-hour listener line.
Hi, guys. I love the show. I was just calling to see what your thoughts were on the ticker symbol SPFF, Global X Super Income Preferred Fund. And it has a monthly dividend payout at over 7%. And I was wondering if you guys thought this would be a good fund to store some money in just for the dividend, and if this would be a good entry point. I look forward to your response. Thank you.
Okay. This is SPFF. That's Frank. Sam, P is a Paul, Frank. Global X Super Income Preferred. Exchange-traded fund, ETFs, corresponding to the Standard & Poor's Enhanced Yield North American Preferred Stock Index. Okay, and it's a yield that I'm showing is 7%. Now, I want you to notice the stock price has been going down. Their yield is still good. I mean, I'd have to take a closer look at what they have inside. How do they produce that 7%? I'd have to take a closer look at that Standard & Poor's Enhanced Yield North American Preferred Stock Index. So obviously they're buying preferreds, and preferreds act like bonds, as you know. It went from 1287 beginning of August to 1260. So it doesn't move a great deal. The whole range for the year from 1240 to 1287. That's a whole move for the entire year, up and down. So it doesn't move a lot, and therefore it's pretty stable, and that's probably what you're looking for when you suggest you're looking for something to put some money in. I just can't guarantee what the 7% yield is because I'm not sure what they do. I need to know what kind of preferred stocks they're buying. It says North American preferred stock, so it looks like our stock market. But I don't have a problem with this kind of holding. Remember, you buy it for the dividend. I don't have a problem with it. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, everybody. We're live 4 to 5 Pacific time. 888-99-CHART is how you can get through. When we talk about portfolio design, the issue of value investing versus growth investing will come up. Do you have questions about those two modes of making investing decisions? We can talk about it here on Invest Talk. Eight 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 nine nine two four two seven eight. why stocks are the best way to reach your financial goals. That's going to be one of our main talking points today. I also want to talk about the EU a little bit, if I can, the European Union, and their what's happening in their economy there. And have you heard of the Hindenburg Omen? The Hindenburg Omen. Well, it's back. I want to talk about what that means. And also, you know, we just finished the earnings season. We should talk about how investors are tricked over earnings season. On every earnings season, they're tricked this way. Every time. And it's something that you need to be aware of. When I say tricked, I mean they're trying to make you look at this little shiny light bulb over here and not at this one over here when the companies report earnings. Look at this over here. Look what I'm saying. Look what I'm showing you. But don't look at this over here. They do that every time, every quarter. What do I mean? Well, I'm going to talk about it. And mortgage rates. Have you been seeing, watching mortgage rates resume their free fall as uncertainty swirls? It was an article I was reading. And it's interesting what's going on with mortgage rates. It's really interesting in the face of what's going on with the Federal Reserve and their what they're doing with the overnight rate that remember, they only control one interest rate, and that's the overnight rate, the rate that banks, that they lend to banks, the money they lend to banks. That's the only rate they control. So banks borrow money from the Federal Reserve, and then they lend it out to you and me. That's the rate they control, not the money, not the rate that the banks lend to you and me. So mortgage rates are independent from them, but don't think the Federal Reserve's overnight rate doesn't influence them. It does. And it can influence them quite strongly. So maybe if we get to that, I want to talk. I got lots of things I want to talk about. Just not sure I can get to them all. The market was pretty bad today, down 274 points on the Dow, 133 points on the NASDAQ, 38 points on the S&P. Now, remember the up and down volume I've been talking about for the last week or two to try to give you an idea? It just seems that the market internals was weakening. And remember I said the stocks up on high volume, the number of stocks up on high volume versus the number of stocks down on high volume. And this kind of indicates to you whether, you know, if there's a lot more in a bull market, you should have a lot more stocks up on high volume than stocks down on high volume. Well, today there was 18 stocks on up on high volume and 432 down on high volume. And over the last week or two since I've been reporting it, it's been decidedly that way. Not that dramatic as it was today, but twice as many down than are up, while the stock market indexes keep rising. And you know what? One index hasn't risen all year long? The Russell 2000. Hasn't gone up at all. So it's not every stock. I was talking to somebody today and saying that, you know, it's just, you know, the way that Dow, is, remember, it's only 30 stocks. The S&P is 500, but both of them are very large companies. So very large companies. So a certain number of those very large companies have been really doing very well, and they're dragging the indexes up, but not the whole market. This is Best Talk, everybody. I'm Steve Peasley. How do you make a smart choice when it comes to life insurance? What's your criteria? Should you buy life insurance? Not everybody should have it. Not nearly as many people should have it that do have it. Let's talk about it. 888-99-CHARGE, how you can reach me. We're live 4 to 5 Pacific Time, Monday through Friday. This is Best Talk. Short. We're going to talk to Gene in North Carolina. How are you doing, Gene?
Hey, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for making it. I appreciate it.
Usually, I know you're a value investor, and usually the market is usually going sideways or slightly up, and you usually are looking for, usually you think the market is slightly overvalued, and you're looking for sort of individual stocks that are of good value, right?
Correct. I like value. So, I like some growth, but I'm really interested in the value. I don't like to overpay for things.
Right. So I'm wondering what happens when the entire market or major indices start they become better value. They drop from here 10% or 15 or 20. do you sort of change modes and maybe buy actual indices if you think that the indices, major indices, are of good value?
I don't generally buy the indices because I like to buy individual stocks and diversify that way. But there's absolutely no problem with buying indexes, and there are ETFs that track value indexes, but on the value side of the market versus the growth. So you can still invest into ETFs and mutual funds, indexes that actually are more focused on value versus growth.
Right, right. So, there are ETFs that emphasize the Russell 2000 value versus growth.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right.
So that's where you would go. But you're asking me if I would do that. Generally, I don't. I buy individual stocks.
So even when the entire market sort of dropped, you still look individually at stocks that are of good value?
Yes, I do. I really do.
Okay. Hey, thanks a lot.
Appreciate the call, Gene. Thank you. That was an easy question. Yeah, I can answer those all day. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Stocks are still the best way to reach your financial goals, everybody. You know, our society is one in which everybody wants immediate financial rewards, immediate gratification, and the stock market does not work that way. The biggest danger is sometimes it does. And that's a big danger because then you think that's the way it normally reacts, and it doesn't. So you have to look at the stock market as a marathon, not a sprint. So if you look at it that way, then you can look back and say, because there's going to be times. There's going to be times in your investment life that the market crashes. There's going to be times when the market's going up and you're not. And there should be times where you're going up and the market's not. All three of those things should exist. Unless you're an indexer, and then you're just going to track the index. But long term, over any time frame, long term. Long term doesn't mean 1 year, 2 years, 5 years. It means 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. That's long term. You are going to make money in the stock market, and it is the best place to make money. Okay? It is the best place. The problem I have and other money managers have is trying to convince people that they have to look at it longer term. Because I can't tell you. No one can tell you that the market's going to be up this year, next year. We don't know for sure. No one really knows for sure. I can tell you things that will tend to believe that it will be up or down. For instance, I can tell you that the market's overvalued. Not tremendously overvalued, but overvalued. Okay, I can tell you that PE ratio, the Shiller PE is at over 30, and it's only been like that three times in history, 1929, 2000, and now. I can tell you that. But I can't tell you if the market's still going to go up or down. I can only tell you that it looks like it's overvalued. And recently I can tell you that there's a weakness internally. Not all the stocks like the S&P and Dow are going up. They're not. Most of them are not. I can tell you those kinds of things. What I can't tell you is if the market's going to go up or down tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. I can't tell you that. I could guess. But anybody that thinks that they can read the tea leaves, if they tell you that, run the other way because you can't. No one can do that. But if you're going to be in the market, you can make a lot of money, but you gotta be disciplined about it. You gotta be disciplined about it. Discipline, what does that mean? That means you constantly invest in the market. You have a bias to be in the market. You don't get out and try to time the market. Now, when I say that, that doesn't mean you can't take some profits and decide not to invest those profits for the time being and wait for a better opportunity, but you don't try to time the market because it's impossible. It's impossible. At least it's been okay. I will say this. It's impossible for me. I have never been able to successfully do it. And all my readings and studies show that very, very few people are able to do it. Very few people. And there's those once in a great while people that can do it consistently, but those are super rare. We're at the halfway mark. Plenty of time to get your questions into the program. I'm Financial Advisor Steve Peasley, and you can reach me right now at 888-99-CHART.
Our podcast continues next on Invest Talk. One of the KPP financial solutions that help solve today's retirement puzzles is waiting for you. How do you get the income you need in retirement without the kind of risk that you just don't feel comfortable with? KPP Financial has a whole catalog of investment programs suited for today's investment climate and designed to suit your real-life situation today. Would you like to know more about the Balanced Income Program, for example? You can call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts or ask Steve directly about it. Just click on Contact Steve on investtalk.com and your note will go directly to him and he'll answer your question. The Balanced Income Program is one solution from KPP Financial. And now let's get back to the podcast. Back to the Money Talk. Financial advisor Steve Peasley is ready for your question. Our direct line is 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Steve or Justin, it's Michael calling from Tampa, Florida. I bought ticker AG and it released its earnings 2 weeks ago and it took a hit. I'm down about 10%. I was just wondering, what's your thoughts? Should I buy more, a dollar cost average, or if I should sell? I kind of buy it as a short-term play and take the bounces and run, but this time I kind of got caught with these earnings, and now I'm wondering if I should just leave entirely. All right, listen on the podcast. Thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah, their most recent earnings, they lost 2 cents a share. The quarter before that, they earned 2 cents a share. They're supposed to make 24 cents a share next year and only 2 cents a share this year. And this is AG, First Majestic Silver, Canadian company engaged in mining and acquisition of silver properties in Mexico. It's a $1 billion company, and it looks like it's trying to bounce. And, you know, if you're a short-term trader, you want to sell this bounce. How far it might bounce up? Well, it's hard to know that. I do think precious metals is probably going to have another run up here before the end of the year. I do. But, you know, if you're a trader, this broke down with those earnings and you want to sell on a bounce. It got us down as far as like 6.15 or so, and now it's at $6.55. And it doesn't have, it's not a good value, but it's a play on precious metals. So from a, notice that today it's up 46 cents, or I'm sorry, up three cents or half a percent, 0.46%. And yesterday it was up. So this is why it's defensive in nature, silver and gold, mining companies. Because if the market crashes, these kinds of stocks don't tend to go down. Because, you know, everybody, you know, remember, it's fear. It's fear of the market. Where are they going to put their money? Where do you go when you have fear? You go to long-term treasuries, you go to cash, you go to precious metals. There's places where you go when there's a lot of fear in the market. So that's AG, everybody. AG. Okay, GDP numbers for out of Europe have been getting stronger. Okay, for Q2, it came in about 2.5%. That's close to the U.S. 2.6%, pretty close to us. So they finally have taken off, and the two countries that have done pretty well is Dutch and the Dutch and the Italians. Okay, Dutch up 3% according to the estimates for GDP growth in 2017, and Italy up 1.5% for 2000. But see, that's a far cry from just 2-3 quarters ago when they were. They're shrinking. So you're seeing the EU come around. And of course, we've seen the European stocks already make a move based on expectations that this is going to happen. And this should probably give a pretty strong signal to the ECB to start cutting their QE, quantitative easing programs. We'll see if it does that. But so if the EU is starting to turn around, and we are doing okay, we're still not subpar as far as our normal GDP growth of 3%, but we're doing pretty good and have been for a lot longer than Europe. What's the Fed going to do then at the next meeting? They going to raise rates? See, I don't think they are. They said they were going to raise the rates a couple more times this year, but I think maybe more like maybe one more time. And it's going to, isn't it going to be dependent on what the market does and what inflation does? We are nowhere near their target inflation. And I've noted that some of the Federal Reserve presidents are backing off as far as should we be raising rates or not. So it'd be interesting what they're going to do. But I don't think, they're going to slow down. Okay, let's go to Art Menlo Park and see what Art wants to talk about. How you doing, Art?
Good, Steve. How are you today?
I'm good. Thanks for the call.
Sure. I just wanted to see what your thoughts are on Shake Shack, S-H-A-K.
Okay.
I'm like thinking about picking some up, but I don't really want to pick it up here. I was just thinking about maybe in another dollar or two.
Okay, well, let's take a look. Shake Shack, Inc., it's a $1.1 billion company. They have 114 shacks in 16 states and 13 countries offering premium burgers, hot dogs, fries, shakes, and other items. So it's a fast food chain. The good thing about them, they've always made money for some time. Ever since they IPO'd, they made money. They're going to make 52 cents this year. That was down from 67 cents last year, but then it go up to 60 cents next year. So the stock has reflected that weakness in their earnings. Now, sales growth is growing between 30 and 40% a quarter. Sales growth is strong. But you're going to have to pay up for it because the PE, remember, it's a $31 stock and it's going to make 60 cents a share. So, what was that? I don't know, 50 PE? A 50 PE. It's kind of tough, Art, because, they have to keep that growth of sales up and they got to translate that into earnings. And it looks like they, more earnings, higher earnings. Not steady earnings, but growing earnings. But they don't have a lot of debt, which is surprising. They don't have a lot of debt. So that means they're pretty financially strong. Their cash flow is 83 cents a share. So management owns 3%. Mutual funds are buyers. And it has a lot of support right around $31, right near where it is. I would wait for the... Art, I'd still wait for the correction. Okay, see where this, okay. To see where it take it will take this down. Any correction takes almost all stocks down. If it doesn't, then it's definitely a buy at this point because it's out of strong support right now. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks,
sounds
Art.
Good. Thanks.
Appreciate
it.
Thank you for the call. Whether it's a legal issue, a medical issue, of course, it's best to have the opinion of a professional. Well, each month I set aside a few hours to meet with a few of our listeners and analyze their financial well-being and try to help them plan for the future. I'll be in San Jose August 23rd. That's next week. And I have only a slot or two left. So if you're really interested in meeting with me, you better get in, better get on it. But if you can't do it, you can't meet with me, we still, anywhere in the country, I still can meet with you via Skype or telephone. It's pretty easy to arrange. It's a first-come, first-served kind of thing, so save your time. Just go to InvestTalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab, then Portfolio Review.
Evaluating a stock's price in terms of value versus growth is much like trying to determine if the price of a home you're interested in buying is priced right. There are many factors to determine value. How about your retirement plan? How do you determine if it's on the right track for you? KPP Financial's investment programs are designed to simplify the individual investment process. No matter where your priorities lie, KPP has a strategy that fits your needs and to help you feel more confident in achieving your retirement goals. To find out more, click on the Investments tab on investtalk.com.
888-99-CHART. Okay, the Hindenburg Omen. Have you ever heard of that? The Hindenburg Omen. Okay, remember this was, remember the Hindenburg, well, maybe you don't. This was a big blimp 80 years ago, caught on fire. A lot of people died. It was a huge disaster back then. One of the few that was caught on film. And every so often you see it. Well, there's a Hindenburg Omen with the S&P and Dow. When they make, the indexes make new highs, but more stocks are hitting 52-week lows than 52-week highs. It's similar to that up and down volume, up on volume, down on volume. But this is stocks making a new 52-week high and stocks making 52-week lows. So if the indexes are moving up, but there's more stocks making 52-week lows than 52-week highs, that's the Hindenburg Omen. And we've had like five sessions out of this last six sessions with that happening. Now, this has only happened this close together only a few times in history. The recent times, they happened in 2007 and happened in 2000. It's also happened in other indexes, by the way. So it happened in 2000 and 2007. Do I have to remind you what happened in those two periods? The dot-com implosion started in March of 2000, and the financial crisis followed in 2008. Started in 2007, but really got traction in 2008. So it's not a perfect way to time. You can't use this as a timing method. You can't. But it's just one more thing to observe. Okay? One more. Now, I've been trying to give some positive things. Remember yesterday, I talked about, you know, a hedge fund manager who felt that, you know, the market is not overvalued, is not like 2000, and he felt that, you know, with various inflation so low, running below the Fed's 2% target, low bond yields and the treasury notes still around 2.26, so the Fed is pretty accommodating. They kind of justify higher prices. So he's still very positive, and you know his thinking is not wrong. So I don't want you to think it's all negative. It's not. I'm not very comfortable, I can tell you that, but maybe I'm a worrywart. Let's get back to the 24-hour listener line and pick up another question. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number.
Hi, Steve and Justin. I'm a listener from New York. I just had a question regarding Alibaba, B-A-B-A. I've been trading this stock for 6 or 7 months, made some short-term gains. I saw that it had a very good earnings report this morning, and I began to think about possibly buying and holding it, and I was wondering what you thought about its valuation right now and if that might be a good idea, or if I should maybe take a short-term gain now and wait for a pullback. Be interested in hearing your thoughts on it. Thanks. Bye.
Well, I don't think it's that overvalued with the growth rate it has. This is Alibaba Group, B-A-B-A is the symbol. It's a Hong Kong-based provider for online and mobile retail market, like places via Taobao.com and Tmall.com and other sites. So, you know, it's the Amazon of China, Amazon. They're going to make $4.64 this year. That's up 36% from last year. They're going to make $6.20 next year. That's another 34%. They're growing sales by 50% a quarter. And the stock is $41. Okay, I'm sorry. The stock is $163 with a PE looking backward of 41. But we never look backward. You always look forward. That means the PE is like around 28, 29. And the five-year range is 22 to 54. So I don't think it's that overvalued. Now, it made a new 52-week high today because it had very good numbers on high volume, too. So this is one of the, 18 stocks today that were up on high volume. That's pretty strong company. Long term, I think it's going higher. Will it pull back during a correction? Probably. But any weakness, I'd be a buyer if that, of this kind of company. This is a growth company, everybody. And, it's growing very, very fast. As long as it continues to do that, you want to be in this kind of stock. I remember I'm a value investor, but this one looks like it has some value in it to me, even though it's made a 52-week high. And that's pretty positive. So maybe if it pulled back to the $155 range at $163, I'd start thinking about it. You could buy half a position today. And it depends. If you're a long-term holder, this will be higher 5 years from now. It'll be higher. BABA, B-A-B-A, everybody. Coming to terms with investing. The term is ex-dividend. You've heard me talk about ex-dividend dates. Ex-dividend is a classification of trading shares when a declared dividend belongs to the seller rather than the buyer. A stock will be given ex-dividend status if a person has been confirmed by the company to receive the dividend payment. A stock trades ex-dividend on or after the ex-dividend date. At this point, the person who owns the security on the ex-dividend date will be awarded the dividend, the payment, regardless of who currently owns the stock. After the ex-dividend date has been declared, the stock usually drops in price by the amount of the expected dividend. You can see this definition on investopedia.com. I like that site for anybody that has any kind of questions about investment terms, or, they have also tutorials there. I mean, it's a really, really very good site, investopedia.com. Investopedia.com. You're listening to Invest Talk, and we're listening to you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can ask your question anytime during that period. We can talk live if you want, also 4 to 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday. And, of course, we always try to get to your questions that you leave on the listener line, 888-99-CHART.
I'm currently working for a company that has a 401k plan. And I wanted to find out, what are the rules or options concerning 401k rollovers? I wanted to find out if I could roll my 401k over into an IRA.
Okay, you can roll a 401k into a new 401k. So if it's an old one from the old company, you can roll it into the new 401k. Or an old 401k can be rolled into an IRA, which is what I always suggest. I think it gives you more choices. But you cannot roll a current 401k that come for the company you're working in to an IRA until you reach a certain age, usually 60, and only if the company allows it. So you have to talk to the company, your company. So, no, you can't just roll a 401k into an IRA while it's active, while you're working for the company and you have to leave it there. But that's so you can, and you got to talk to your human resources person to see if you're old enough and they allow to roll a current 401k to an IRA at a certain age. And usually it's 60, 59 and a half, something like that. Okay? 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. How investors are tricked every earnings season. How do they trick you with their earnings report? They are required to report earnings using GAAP, General Accounting Principles. Okay? GAAP principles. So they're all supposed to report GAAP numbers. But every company is allowed to report using their own metrics also. It's supposed to be in addition to. But what happens is they shine a bright light in the way they want you to look at their numbers. Look, we had this. Wasn't this great? Look at that growth of sales in our last month, even though the previous 2 months were terrible. But look at our growth. Look what happened. Our gross profits for that last month. Hey, look at that. Instead of looking, here's the quarter results. here's the numbers, here's the sales, here's the profits. So what happens is they confuse the whole issue as much as they can to make you not look at the hard data. The data's there because they're required to report it. But they really make 90% of the S&P 500 companies use their own metrics in an attempt to make the numbers look better. 90% of the S&P 500 companies use their own metrics. Yeah, they reported the GAAP numbers, but they also reported the way they wanted you to see them. So what does that do? Of course, it's a confusing thing. It's not, well, what am I supposed to look at? You're supposed to look at GAAP, everybody. But it's hard. Sometimes, it's not as clear. It's not as, and if every company has their own metrics that they report different ways, how do you know what is real, what's not? That's a problem. So you need to make a strong effort to look at the bottom line earnings per share, sales, and sales over last quarter, sales versus a year ago sales, and what is the EBITDA, and how much depreciation did they take? Was it the same percentage of depreciation they took last quarter? They changed that? All kinds of things that it makes it pretty hard. It's not an easy thing, but that's your job to do it. That's what your job is. And have you noticed the mortgage rates? Mortgage rates. Remember, the Fed has raised rates consistently. Do you think the mortgage rates have gone up with the Fed raising rates? Not really. They're up a little bit. They're a little under 4% right now, or right around 4%. They got up to close to 4.5%, maybe. Came down. So this is what I talked about at the beginning of the show. The Fed does not control interest rates. The market controls interest rates, mortgage rates, the market. And the market's saying, you know what? You want to compete, you got to have low rates. If you want to compete and get mortgages with the bank, if the bank wants to issue mortgages, you better compete. And so the rates have not really gone up. Now, they've gone up a little because it got as low as, what, 3.5? A couple of years ago, so they're 4 now, so up a little bit. Time's up for the hour. Reminder, I'll be in San Jose August 23rd for complimentary individual portfolio reviews. To set aside your hour, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and the whole KPP family, I want to thank you for being with me today. And let's do it again tomorrow, Friday.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.